Scripture says he retaineth not his anger forever.
Right.
Because he delighteth in mercy.
Praise God.
Is that a blessing or is that a blessing?
Amen.
I hope you understand that this nation is under the judgment of God.
Amen.
If you do not understand that, surely, 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 you will.
Amen.
In short order. America has so sinned against God and so spit in the face of God's mercy. Rightfully so. The West is burning down. Mid-America is a dust bowl. The South is flooded with rain and the crops have come out of the ground, but they cannot be harvested because they can't get in the fields to harvest. They're making plans to kill millions of cattle because there's no feed for them for the winter. Try to buy a pound of hamburger next year.
Amen.
And our political situation is in such a mess that only hell could have spit it out.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. And he will if we'll pray.
Amen.
He will if we'll humble ourselves. He will if we'll actually be Christian.
Amen.
Just love the Lord. Forget about all the junk in the world and love the Lord.
Amen.
Say, it's been this bad before. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. This is dire circumstance which we live. God in his mercy. I like that thought. He delighted in mercy. I'll tell you right now, that's the reason I'm here to. He delighteth in mercy. Hallelujah. In Amos chapter number 3, one little verse. We began on last week talking with you about this verse of Scripture. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? My Father, we're in your house. This is your word. We are your people. We came to worship. We came to learn. We came to rejoice. We've already done that tonight. But if you will, in these moments, I pray you'll help us to get something from the Word of God that we can take home with us and share with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. When Amos makes this statement, can two walk together except they be agreed? He's talking about man and God. Man and God. Now let me assure you that God's not going to change his mind. He's not in the mind-changing business. And may I assure you that for the most part, man won't change his mind.
Amen.
Until God Almighty works in his heart and causes him to change.
Amen.
On last week, we learned that we are ruined. We as a people are a ruined people without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Unless Christ is in your life, you are ruined.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Unless Christ is in your life, you are a ruined individual.
Amen.
Dead in trespasses and sins. Without hope and without God in this world, we are ruined without Christ. And tonight we come to another thought. If I am ruined, then I have a need of regeneration. Would you say that's so?
Yes.
When I recognize my ruined state, then I understand that I must be regenerated.
Yes.
Now let me share something with you quickly. Regeneration and salvation are not the same thing. Often they are called the same, often they are used synonymously, but in reality they are not the same thing. Regeneration is God preparing you for salvation.
Right.
And salvation is that act of God when he turns you around, saves you by his marvelous grace, and puts your feet on the street to glory. Hallelujah, you're going somewhere. For he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is a glorious circumstance. Regeneration. Regeneration is that act of God that turns man from what he was into an animal that God can save by his grace. We, in our ruined state, can do absolutely nothing to save ourselves. Now, you'll hear otherwise in pulpits across this country, but they have no proof of it in the Scripture. What I tell you, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is there. You are dead. If you're dead in trespasses and sin, you have no hope, no help, and no heaven unless God comes to you first.
Amen.
When the first man, Adam, sinned, God came to him. He didn't come to God. He hid from God.
Amen.
And believe it or not, men are still trying to hide from God.
Yes.
And by the way, still trying to hide in the same situation that Adam did.
Amen.
Still trying to hide behind the first Fig Leaf Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
That's really what it was. See, he had created something of his own to try to hide himself from the judgment of God.
Yes.
Is that not what religion is?
Amen.
Just as sure as God made little green apples.
Yes.
Let me remind you of this. Salvation is the work of God in your heart.
Right.
Religion is the work of man. Salvation will take you to glory. Religion will take you to hell.
Amen.
Because it's man-made. Salvation is God-made.
Amen.
You need to decide tonight which one you want.
Amen.
One of them is bound for glory, the other is bound for hell. And there's no in-between. No stoplights on the way. One way or the other. There's where we're headed. So regeneration, let's talk about it for a moment. Regeneration is the act of God whereby he makes the sinner willing to come to him. No sinner will willingly come to the Lord Jesus. He'll do everything he can to escape him. Hide behind every fig leaf he can find. Join every church he can find. Get baptized enough times to where he has webbed feet. And still not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is man without God? He's a doomed soul. What did I tell you last week? Paul said, without hope and without God in this world. And you, if you're without hope and without God in this world, what do you have in the world to come? You're without hope and without God. Sometimes we forget that we are eternal souls. Our minds need to be reminded of that truth. You are an eternal soul. You will spend eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell, one of the two. And it all depends upon what God does for you in this thing of regeneration.
Amen.
Preparing you to come to the household. We'd come in for supper. Mom would have supper ready. Some of you folks call it dinner. Be sophisticated if you will. That'll help you one of these days. When you stand before God. We're going to a supper. Hello. I guess if God calls it a supper, I can call it supper. Mama, get supper ready. Call us in. We'd have to wash our hands and our face before we sat down to the table. You know what we were doing? We were making ourselves fit to come to the table. Well, that's what God's doing with us in regeneration. He's cleaning us up, fixing us up, getting us ready to where we'll say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You'd never do it otherwise. We need to break the news to people in this closing hour of this dispensation that you would never come to God if God did not first come to you. You would no more be seeking God. I hear testimony after testimony. I was looking for the Lord. Now that's a lie. Straight out, that's not so. You may have been looking for something, but you weren't looking for the Lord. You were looking for something to satisfy your religious hunger, but you weren't looking for the Lord. For your mind is dead in trespasses and sin. Your mind is hateful toward God. You don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Until God begins what you've heard me call time and time again, spiritual surgery. Now let's talk about that for a moment, because that's the reality of generation, a regeneration. Spiritual surgery starts with the eyes and the ears and the heart. Dr. Grace begins to do surgery on you. He opens your eyes and you begin to see things you never in your lifetime saw before. He begins to operate on your ears. And you begin to hear things you never heard before. They've sang Amazing Grace in your presence 1,000 times, and you never paid any attention to it. But now grace has worked on your hearing apparatus, and now you begin to hear things you never heard before. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You realize that you're outside. You realize that you're that wretch. But you realize that there is grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're hearing things you never heard before. He begins to do heart surgery on you. You begin to feel things you never felt before. You may have heard a message 1,000 times. But now all of a sudden, something begins to tingle inside of you. God begins to speak to your heart, your soul, your spirit. Goes deeper than the ears now. He's dealing with that part of you that determines who you will be in days to come. And when he begins to regenerate that heart, now I can see things I never saw. Now I can hear things I never heard. Now I can feel things I never felt before. And when God speaks, guess what I hear? I hear God speaking. When I look around me, guess what I see? I see God in his creation. Everywhere I look, I see God in his creation. Now, when I meet with God's people, I feel the presence of the Lord. My spirit inside me bears witness with the fact that the Lord God Almighty has now made me a child. I belong to another world. Paul said, our conversation is in heaven. Wherefore we look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Hear me. When God works that work in your heart, you'll never be the same again.
Amen.
You can't be the same again. See, beforehand, you were at the command of Satan. Now you're at the command of the Lord.
Amen.
Now you've come to that place where you've cried mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my never dying soul. And guess what happens? Jesus said that man went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee who was saying, I'm fine, I'm doing well. I've done all these religious things. For if there's ever been a condemner of religion, the Lord Jesus Christ was.
Yes, sir.
And I will tell you something, honey. Don't get mad at me for condemning it because he did it first.
Amen.
He taught me how to do it. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I despise religion from the depths of my heart. But I love salvation from the depths of my soul. Hallelujah. I'm grateful before God Almighty that God has done something eternal in my heart and hopefully in your heart. And if not, then surely, surely you're here tonight for one single purpose, that God might speak to your heart. For it is that if God doesn't speak, you'll never hear. Never hear. I come to an illustration from the scripture. In John chapter number 3, now please pay attention. In John chapter number 3, there is a religious ruler of Israel who meets with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he, like every religious ruler in Israel, thinks, I have heaven made. Heaven is my home. It must have been a stunning thing to Nicodemus when Jesus informed him that he had to be born again. No doubt his mind said, I'm a ruler of the Jews. I'm a teacher. I'm part of this great religious crowd in Israel. Jesus said, your religion is of no benefit. Remember, religion is a fig leaf. Just keep that in mind for the rest of your days. Religion is a fig leaf. It's a creation of man. And here, these religious Jews have become so religious they've forgotten the God of glory. It was more important to be religious, more important to carry out their laws, more important to do their thing and to brag on what they were and to think that, hey, heaven belongs to me. Remember what I said to you last week? If you're not a child of God, heaven does not belong to you. The promises in this book are not yours. The promises in this book will never be yours unless you become a child of God.
Right.
Except the promise that you'll wind up in hell. And by the way, that is a promise.
Amen.
Without Christ, that's where you'll be.
Right.
Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's brave though he comes at night. When the shadows have fallen and he can kind of stay hid from the other religious folks in town. And the conversation begins and the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now Nicodemus comes back and says, how's this possible? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now before you criticize Nicodemus too much, let's go back and look at what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, he uses the word, look it up when you get home. He uses the word genoa. And the term genoa means the natural process of life. In other words, Jesus said to him, you've got to be born of a mother and a father. Well, he's already been born of a mother and a father. But Jesus is talking about a heavenly father and a Holy Spirit. Nicodemus still is not going to catch it. Kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. You have that? Pull that up for us just a moment. Look at this. I want you to look at this verse. But the natural man. Now who is that? That's the man before he's saved by the grace of God. How many times have I told you this book is not written to the natural man? This book is for the family. This book is a book that's for you and I who are saved by the grace of God. It's not for the sinner. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Watch the words. They're foolishness unto him. Someone tells you, I don't understand. Let me, right here, I need to make a sidebar. Hold on a minute. Religion has done everything it can to have natural men understand the Word of God. They've translated and retranslated and taken words out and put words in and said things that God didn't say in order that man might understand.
Yes.
And they're trying to get the sinner to understand the things of God. Listen to me. A goat will never be a sheep. If God Almighty doesn't change your heart and your mind, you're still in that natural realm. You know nothing of the things of God. You cannot understand it. It's foolishness unto you. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It doesn't come by natural means. It doesn't come by changing the word. My daddy had a sixth grade education. He understood the King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
And here these college professors can't understand the King James Bible. You tell me something when you tell me you can't understand the King James Bible. As a matter of fact, you tell me out loud that you're still a natural person. You've not yet been born into the household of faith. I don't expect you to understand the things of God until you're born again. God knows you can't. Preachers need to learn that you can't. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus, hearing what the Lord said. Recognizing the Lord has said you've got to be born again with a mother and a father. Now he says, how can this happen? How can this possibly happen? Then our Lord goes on to tell him about the Spirit. And the new birth. Now the Bible doesn't tell us here that Nicodemus was born again. I want you to think about this. If you never get anything else from John chapter 3, I want you to think about this. Here is a man, a religious man, standing, having a conversation with the very Lamb of God. And he don't understand what he said. Now there is some evidence later on that Nicodemus was a saved man.
Amen.
But it's very little evidence. Are you listening?
Amen.
Not everyone whom God confronts will be born again.
Yeah.
Amen.
But everyone that God begins this thing called spiritual surgery in their heart will be born again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
For he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God starts something, honey, he don't give up halfway through. If God begins this thing of surgery and causes your eyes to open, your ears to hear, your heart to feel, you're coming into the household of faith. Say, well, what do I got to say about it? You just got to be there. You just got to be there. And the Holy Ghost wrap his arms around you. Bring you to the household. You know what God does in the regeneration? God wraps you in the womb of the Holy Ghost. When the baby is in the womb, he's getting his food from another source. Not naturally, but from his mother. You understand that? When he's in the womb, he's protected from outside influences. You see what God's doing? Are you about to catch up? All of these things that God's doing is meant for one thing. There's going to be a birth. There's going to be a birth. No child has ever been birthed instantly. And may I say to you, no child of God has ever been birthed instantly. Philip is in a great revival. Folks are being saved by the hundreds. God said, Philip, I want you to leave here. I want you to go down on the Gaza Strip. And you're going to meet a black man down there in a chariot. And when he gets there, guess what that man in the chariot is doing? He's reading the Word of God. But guess what that black man knows about the Word of God? Nothing. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I? Hey, listen. The revelation here is so real, if you just open your eyes, how can the natural man understand the things of God? Except somebody showed him. What a marvelous, marvelous truth. When God opened your eyes, he's going to do something for you. When you begin to hear the things of God, God has plans for you. When you begin to feel the things of God, God has plans for you. Hallelujah. And soon you're going to hear the voice of God. And just like Lazarus, you're going to come forth. Out of that dead condition you were in, you're going to come forth alive and well by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? Unless the ruined man is regenerated, he'll never walk with God.
Amen.
It's a total impossibility. Nicodemus didn't understand the things of God. Why? Because he's a natural man. What proof that is that Nicodemus is a lost man, though religious, and a leader. Remember the message I preached a while back? Few saved.
Amen.
Few saved. Honey, when this boat heads out of here to the other shore, it's not going to be crowded. There's going to be a bunch of religious folks left behind.
Amen.
I believe if I were you, I'd be like that publican that knelt at the altar in the temple. Said, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Let's stand together with our heads bowed.